My name is Justine McQueen. You're here for McQueen's Music and Mayhem. Let you guys know, this is my first episode under Mabel Syndrome, and I have the founders of Mabel Syndrome, Jessica and Kristen, with me today. Say hi, ladies.
Hello.
Hey there.
So I have them on today just to kind of introduce me too and introduce themselves. And Mabel Syndrome is pretty much a punk rock perspective from women, and now we're kind of adding on a subcategory of metal from women's perspective, and that's where I come in.
Yeah. So we're so excited that you're doing this, and I feel so lucky that this smart, amazing woman reached out to us and was like, I want to contribute in a way and do something with metal, and we're like, yeah, okay, whatever you want, you got it.
Well, it's a part of music that we, like, we're aware of, we kind of know of, but it's not, like, our, you know, our number one, our go-to. And to think that we have, like, another woman in the scene, the music scene in general, that's, like, super passionate, right? And proactive about doing stuff. So that's cool.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you. Yeah, I'm very excited about it too. And metal is definitely my scene. I mean, I love punk music. I like rock music in general. All decades of rock, but metal is definitely where my heart is.
What is it about it that you love so much?
I don't know. There's something about the music, every instrument that hits me, and it shakes me to my core, like in a good way. Like when I hear the drums or an 808 go, like it just like booms to my center, like the bass guitar and like guitar solos, you know. Sometimes it's some people's vocals that is just like, it hits me like I'm getting little tinglies on my scalp just talking about it, because that's how it hits me. That's how it hits me. Like that music speaks to me and it does something to me. It even has like a physiological response for me. So, but yeah, it's always been the one genre of music that has hit me in a way that none ever has before.
And like Kristen and I get that. Like, that's the other thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, everything you just said, I'm like, yeah, I know. I feel the exact same way. Like, we've talked about it many times, but it's not uncommon to see me cry my eyes out at a punk show because I'm just so fucking overwhelmed with how amazing it is, right?
Yeah.
How old were you when you got into metal?
I would say I was about 12, because I was at one of my friend's house. Like, I grew up on 70s and 80s rock, so I already knew about that part of it, but newer metal that was coming on. I was at my friend's house and I had a sleepover. I was about 12 years old, and we stayed up till midnight for Midnight Metallica.
Yeah.
And we would do that all the time. And so I was like, this is where it's at. So I remember like staying at my friend's house and we'd stay up for Midnight Metallica every time I was over there. And that's when I started to really get into more of like the newer metal at the time. Mm-hmm. And then I went to my first concert when I was 14. I went to Rob Zombie and Korn.
Nice.
And that was just like, it seriously still set the bar for my concert experience. Mm-hmm. And I've been to a lot of them and they've been really good, but it's like your first concert, that's in you.
It is. Mm. It's really interesting too, isn't it? How, you know, we ask that question a lot, like, how old were you when you got into it? What was your first experience with, you know, really finding and loving music and stuff? And
yeah,
it's always, almost always, around the same age. It's like that 11 to 15 age group where you're just so, I don't know, easily influenced. Mm-hmm. Like your hormones are going in a totally different way. You're first experiencing like that's the first time that you like really like hate a friend and love a friend and crush on a boy, and music like reminds you of something, and you're like in your room angry.
Well, and vocalizes it. It puts a voice to something that you're feeling that all of a sudden you're like, oh, they get it.
Yeah.
Or this makes me feel a certain way. And I think it helps you identify
it's
your
so
feelings
true.
At that
it
age,
helps
you know?
Me identify it at 37, for Christ's sake. Right? I still will drive in my car later tonight and a song will come on and I'll be like, this needs to be tattooed on my body. Like,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah
it's
Yeah, and I do go to some metal shows. I have a friend, a good friend that loves metal that drags me to shows all the time. And usually, well, I don't know, small, big, whatever. But and I like it. I heard a great phrase recently that said, punk rock is the heart and metal is the brain.
Oh.
Because punk rock is like... Well, let's be honest. Punk rock is usually just a few words, right? And but it evokes this feeling in your heart, and it's all of this emotion and things like that. Whereas metal is like really technical and really intense in that way. Like when I go to a metal show, I'm just staring at the guitarist. To be honest, like how the drummer, like how the fuck is he playing?
It's very
that
complex.
Fast?
Like metal is, it's very complex. Yeah. Like it's like math and language for music, and the way that all of it comes together is just, it's brilliant. Like when people get that element together and their musicianship and everything is super tight, like it just like before I was saying, like it just hits you in a way, and it is, there's a very complex thing to it. So that's very interesting that they would say that it's like the brain, because it's like so, all these little things going on all at once, but it works together.
So like that makes me wonder, because you know, like punk rock's the heart and metal's the brain. Like for me, punk rock is like the music I listen to when I'm like sad and depressed and angry and heartbroken and lovesick and like driving on a super sunny day and feeling like really happy. Like it's a very emotional thing for me. Like, is there such thing as like metal love songs that make you like lovesick for a boy, or like if you're feeling turmoil in like a love situation, is there certain metal you put on for that?
Yeah. I think it's
That's awesome.
Yeah. I think it's like more of the lyrical content and also the notes that you use in, I think maybe in every genre, but in metal, like there are certain notes that will evoke either the happy feelings or maybe the like, yeah, fuck that shit kind of feeling, you know, kind of thing. Yeah. So it's like, it's just and you can already feel it. Like even if you don't know music, like you can feel like that's what it's about with that and with the lyrical content that brings it in. And like I feel that, like there's certain songs where I'm like, I do, and it's like very passionate and I'm like, yeah, like this has like happy love feeling for me. And other ones where I'm just like, I'm so angry right now, I just need to like scream.
That's funny. Yeah, so, same thing.
Yeah.
So you're basically the brains and the heart is what you're saying.
Yeah.
well, it all fits together. All fits together. That's for
and
sure.
And now you've been out doing interviews. How has that been going?
Yeah, it's been going really good. I've got to interview some people that I've known in the industry. They've agreed to be kind of like my guinea pigs, and they were super chill about it. Everybody was really great. And in the process, I'm actually meeting new people and going out when I go to shows and do the reviews, and I'm interviewing, I'm connecting and networking with other people. They're like, oh, that's rad. Like, would you like to interview us? Like, we'd be happy to come on, you know? And I'm like, yeah, just follow me on Instagram. Let's hook up and like talk about it and see if we can schedule something. So it's been real.
Holy deja vu, Kristen.
Is that how it was for you guys?
Like, oh my god, like that's how it was. We're like, hey, maybe some people will want to talk to us, probably not, but let's like reach out. And then all of a sudden it was like our top like five musical idols were like, sure,
yeah,
okay, yeah, no problem. And then we just all of a sudden started going like, people just say yes.
Yeah,
like people. And then I remember like our first couple emails of like, hey, do you want to interview our band? We were like, what?
Yeah.
You're asking us? It's a very, but like, I think it's like that industry of punk rock, and it sounds like metal, where it's like, it's such a family type, for the lack of a better word, you know, group where people just want to help each other and do stuff for each other and get to know each other and things like that. So people say yes.
Yeah, it's really interesting because, like, I mean, you see the metal scene and everybody kind of looks, like, really kind of scary. And they're like, you know, I mean, if you're not used to that scene and that look, you're like, oh, these people look like they're going to, like, murder me and put me in a ditch somewhere. So I brought my friend Ashley to a metal show once. And she's a very electronic, kind of, like, happy, I love cats and, you know, mermaid sequence kind of thing. I love sparkly things too, but like she's on a different level. So, and she never had been to a metal show. So I bring her to a metal show and she walks in and she's like, she's wearing the normal clothes that she normally does. And she's like, oh my gosh, Justine, I can't be here. These people are going to be so mean to me. They're going to know that I'm not one of them. And I was like, just talk to them. Everybody's nice. And then by the end of the night, she's shooting pool with like the burliest guy in there laughing and having drinks with people. And she's like, Justine, these are the nicest people I've ever met. And I'm like, oh my, like, it was amazing that that's how it is though. Like, I mean, even when you're in the mosh pit, like people are like, Justine, how do you go in the mosh pit? Like, isn't it scary? I'm like, no, there's pit etiquette. Like, you fall down, the person behind you, the first person to pick you up and let's go again. So it's, everybody's super nice and I've never had a bad experience yet. Great. So maybe that's why I kept coming back.
Do you have, how many interviews have you done so far?
I've done 3 for metal bands. Yeah. So three. I'm really excited.
Do you have a bucket list?
Yeah.
Metal band? Do you have a couple bucket list people that you want?
I've been writing them down like, okay, maybe this might be possible because it'd be so rad.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. I've been doing that. Yes.
Okay. Good. It'll happen.
Yeah.
It'll happen. Trust me. It'll happen. And I can't wait for it to happen for you.
Yeah. I'm very excited.
Right? I'm so excited for you.
Yeah, yeah, and it's really great, too, because, like, sitting there, the people that, the 3 bands that I've interviewed already that I know, I've learned stuff about them just in the interview that I never even knew before, and some of them I've known for years, and so I was just like, wow, like, I didn't even know that, or they had an answer that I was, like, totally would not expect.
Yeah.
So it was really cool.
Well, that's how we approach it, too. Like, I love just getting to know these people that you might think you know, or that you've been friends with for a long time, or you think you know them because you've been a fan of theirs for 20 years or whatever, but to really to ask some different questions and get some different answers from them is, it feels really like rewarding, and it's such a good feeling.
I think that I think one of the biggest things for me over the last couple of years doing interviews is like just realizing everybody's just human. Like, everybody's normal. Like, even these, like, musicians that we love and adore and, you know, look up to in terms of, like, their talent and their lyrics and their music and all this stuff. They have shitty days. They have shitty fucking days. And sometimes they're grumpy. And sometimes they got shit going on in their personal life. And sometimes they're in a great mood. They just want to shoot the shit and have a couple drinks and record a podcast. Like, it's very much been a situation for me going like, we're all just human, we're all the same. And I mean, there are a couple of people that are, I think, bigger assholes than the rest of us. I mean
or that's more consistently
I mean, but for the most part, I'd say that, like, I was at the beginning, I was so prepared for a lot of people saying no, a lot of people not wanting to talk to us, and a lot of bad situations, like fear, like expecting the worst. And it's the absolute complete opposite. It's 10 times more amazing and easy and yes and fun, and there's just a couple bad seeds.
Yeah. I mean, there's a bunch of them even when they're not musicians or artists. There's assholes there too. So you're just like,
exactly. Everywhere. And you've worked in the industry a little bit before. Like, you've done merch for bands and stuff like that.
And I play music too. Of course, I'm not.
You do?
I do. Yeah. I'm not like on a stage kind of playing music, but I know how to play. Like, I play.
What do you play?
I sing, play guitar and bass.
I bet you have a cool voice, a singing voice.
When I'm not losing it, I might, I don't know, people say that my voice is actually getting better because I've been hosting karaoke at a local place and just running sound and hosting karaoke. And I love, I'm a karaoke singing machine. Like, you're like, karaoke night, I'm like, I'm there. But
you're like basically who I want.
Yeah, it's a little challenging when I'm losing my voice. So I'm just like, but it's been good. I like it. Anything with music. And I was telling Kristen, I was just like, my life without music is no life at all. Like, really, like, whether it's me singing karaoke, playing music, interviewing people, or just going to shows, like, that's like,
what's your go-to karaoke song?
Oh, it changes so much over the years. I think
if you were on the stage tonight, what would it be?
On the stage tonight, I would probably sing, I've been doing a lot of 90s lately. So Fiona Apple, Criminal. I've been singing that one lately.
And then that is not an easy song. My goodness. It's she's like, I'm going to go for the big
no.
one.
And I actually, there's a deaf guy that comes in for karaoke and he wants to sign the karaoke. And one time he asked, yeah, it was so rad. Like I'd never experienced that before. And he's like, I want to do karaoke. And I'm like, you're deaf. And he's like, I'll sign it. And he's like, if somebody wants to sing it. So he mm-hmm. wanted to sing Metallica and he's the Enter Sandman. And so he's like, can you sing it for me? And then I'll just sign it. And I was like, I've never done it, but okay. So now that's like one of my songs I sing. Cause I was like, that was rad. Like I really like this. So, but yeah, so I've been,
that needs to be an Instagram
yeah,
thing.
I,
FYI, because I don't know if you've seen online, but there's this lady who does, all the sign language interpretations for like Snoop Dogg.
Oh, really?
You can Google it and see this chick, and she's like on stage fucking killing it with her sign language in the same attitude that Snoop Dogg is performing. It's
that's
awesome.
Really cool. That is really cool. Yeah, like I'd never seen that before, but it actually exposed me to songs that I would never sing before. So like Metallica, I would have never sang Metallica, like maybe in my car, but not on stage in front of people. So, but yeah, so it was really cool. And I think those are my two like top songs that I've been doing, like Fiona Apple and Metallica. So, but it changes.
Cool. That's awesome.
The interview that I did is with a local band from San Diego called Warpath, and they are a metal band. They're probably my favorite local metal band, just because, I mean, I know all the songs and I, you know, all of it just, it's really good. We could probably edit that part out because that was weird.
It's really good.
Nope.
Gotta keep it in.
Ah, no. Okay. I'm just like, my,
nope, we're definitely leaving that in.
Yeah,
definitely leaving that in. Trust me, if Kristen and I edited out all the bloopers, we would have no fucking podcast. So, yeah. Did you not hear our last episode where I fart?
That's
like I talked about my farting.
Oh, okay, that's
my farting up the front. Actually, so yeah, welcome to the Mabel Syndrome family. God, it's inexplicable. It's just a feeling.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, my brain, like, just, I was, like, trying to think of the music, and I'm, like, trying to express, find the word, that how it makes me feel, and it couldn't. And so I was just like, blah, 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 you know?
Did you interview all of them?
Yep, all of them. All four of them were there. We sat around a table, had some drinks, and interviewed, and, you know, it was really cool. I got to learn a little bit about them that I didn't even know. Funny, and they have a unique dynamic to them, and we talk about it on the interview, but they're all Native American.
Cool.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think they're, like, the only all Native American metal band that is around, you know, and, I mean, they add some of their culture into their music, but they're metalheads, you know, like, they play metal, but they're just Native American too. But then they add a little bit in there, and we talk about it on the interview, so you'll get to hear that. But
I'm so excited
to listen.
Hey, guess
to this.
What? I found another podcast. I think I'm really gonna like.
is it McQueen's
is.
Music and
oh
Mayhem?
My God.
I don't know.
So this your first episode,
yeah.
And I'm really excited.
Yeah, this
for
is
you.
Yeah.
And, I know Kristen is like losing her shit because. When Mabel Syndrome started, this was Kristen's like ultimate vision to bring people, like to bring women together like this. And so the fact that this is what's happening, I know is like making her little heart just like, you know, freak out. And
yeah,
that's
awesome.
Pretty cool.
It is.
I'm glad.
Yeah, because I want other women to feel empowered to do this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why, yeah. So if someone wants to start like a ska women podcast or I don't know, like pop punk podcast or whatever it is, like I want other women to find ways to get involved. And and actually speaking of that, yeah, so anyone that wants to reach out to Jessica or Kristen of Mabel Syndrome and give us your ideas or tell us how you want to get involved, you're welcome to do that. And of course, follow us on social media and everything. And then how can people find you?
I was just going to say, are like, we plugging our podcast?
You'll be able to access ours.
Yes.
Sure. Yeah, that would be great.
Because now what's going to happen is on at the end of every one of our podcasts, it's going to be like one of those professional podcasts that's like, hey, follow our sister podcast, you know? Like,
yeah.
And that's what it's going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's going to be awesome.
So cool.
Yeah. So I have an Instagram. It's Jess McQueen. And then I'm still working on the page for Mabel Syndrome under the mabelsyndrome.com. So that's going to get worked out. And then I'm contemplating a Facebook page. Mm-hmm. But if I do, just follow me on Instagram and I'll be posting stories and content and kind of redirect people as it comes. And obviously follow the podcast, because then I'll be able to let you know like what's new and how you can find me. So,
and we'll obviously be letting everybody know when you have an episode come out. We'll be promoting that as well. So
yeah, I'm really excited.
Crazy.
I was this a little nervous, awesome. But I'm like, I'm passionate and I love this and I'm nervous, but it's going to be great. And yeah.
It's like Mabel Syndrome just had a baby.
Oh, yes. I love that.
It's like Kristen and I just had a little baby and she likes metal and we're going with it and we're encouraging it.
And I do not wear diapers. So you skip that part. You skip that part.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. That'll happen to me before it happens to any of the rest of you guys.
Well, I really appreciate you guys coming on for my first episode. It's been really great to introduce my Mabel Syndrome parents to my metalhead friends, you know. That'd be great. And
Kristen's definitely the mom.
Yeah. Is that Charlie Brown's teacher?
That's not Womp. Yeah. Did you just Womp
myself?
Thank you guys again for coming on. And for the listeners out there, get ready to listen to some Warpath here and stay tuned for their last two songs at the end of the show that they picked.
All right, so Justine McQueen here for Mabel Syndrome, and I'm hanging out with Warpath, a local metal band.
What up, Warpath Nation?
What's happening, Warpath Nation?
What up?
Oh, fuck, you can't fucking do it.
There you go.
Flute playing over here.
Animals.
Spirits. Not that kind.
Call it spirits.
Spirit animals. All right, so tell us a little bit about your show coming up on April 7th at Brick by Brick.
We're playing a show with Ashes of Ares, which consists of former members of the band Iced Earth.
That's who it is.
Yeah.
It's good to know.
It's going to be a kick-ass show. They're super... I think they're like super power metal-y, but they also have a black
Swedish
metal type vibe, like, a little bit. So
it's fun to open up with those guys. Kind of our,
no, it should be a really fun show.
And, along the lines of...
And the other thing music. Is about that show is that if we still have tickets, it's free. We're giving them to anybody who can make it to the show. This is kind of like a Warpath Nation appreciation show for us, and we're going to be giving away the tickets.
Really? I have about 13 left.
That's pretty rare that you guys are doing a Warpath Nation appreciation for your
fans.
Totally.
Yeah.
Appreciation for the nation.
And right? We're shooting for, and I'm sure it should be done, but we should be like a CD release for us as well. So.
Yeah, I was actually going to ask you guys about that. What you guys have coming up for as far as new music and CDs, what does that look like?
The goal is to have that released by the 7th.
The 7th of April 7th?
Yes.
Okay.
For the show, which will be kind of another cool thing about, you know, that being a free show. You get to come in and then, hey.
You get a free CD?
Yeah, CDs and digital downloads.
All free.
All our music just to get it out there.
We just want to get it out there, and we just want the Warpath Nation to, you know, support us as they always have by spreading it out the best that they can. You know, all their resources, all those people that they know, because that all branches out and that all reaches different people.
So the music is going to be available for your fans on April 7th, but will you have a CD available for your fans at the show as
Absolutely.
Well?
Absolutely.
Okay, awesome.
That is our goal.
Okay, and is that going to be technically your release party date, or are you guys going to have another date set for that?
You know what? I mean...
I think that is to be determined.
Okay.
Yeah, there's this factor in there. There's not... We can't get as many people in there as we would like to, mm-hmm. I would say. It's a free show and all. But as far as a CD release party, I think that should be like a show that has like no cap as far as how many people we can invite personally.
Right. Yeah. Also, our music will be released on all streamlines, Spotify, Apple Music, whatever, okay. All
CD
awesome.
Baby, all digital distribution.
And iTunes. That'll be all available ideally on the 7th of April.
Yes,
awesome.
Ma'am.
7th awesome.
Of April.
Great. Just a few questions to get us started for people that aren't a part of Warpath Nation yet. When did the band form, and how long have you guys known each other?
2014.
Yeah, it got started 2014 with me, Dino Suna, me, Chance Perez, Dino Suna, and Harrison Whitecloud. We originally played Shane Monahan on the bass, and that lasted for a little bit, but it was that. I mean, you can't discredit it. That's what got the ball rolling. That's what made us realize it's like, wow, you know, we can write some fucking kick-ass tunes. We can keep this going, you know. So yeah. We went through a couple bass players. That was really like what took us so long to actually start being able to make moves to grow more established, because you can't be established if you're constantly changing your lineup and having to teach the next guy the next songs and everything else like that.
And everybody doesn't have their full heart into it.
Yeah.
We're like the Spinal Tap for bass players, you know?
Yeah.
But the original lineup was Chance Perez, Harrison Whitecloud, Dino Suna, Johnny Osuna.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
And Jason Wolf was the original lineup.
Yeah, and that Johnny Osuna was your front man for a while.
So our front man for a while?
Yeah.
2016.
Yeah, that's what that was.
I can't remember.
2015, 2016 was that original five-man lineup.
And you see some of the shirts still out with the five skulls that were on
there.
Yeah,
a lot of people still see them.
Saw one today.
Those are like collector's items now.
Yeah. They don't even make them anymore.
And then they were blessed with Danny Trujillo to come on bass.
I was just about to say, I was like, so who's your final?
Blessed, I'm still worshiping. Fuck.
Yeah, I was just about to ask, like, who's your final bass man now? And it's Danny Trujillo right here.
Not only is our bass player, man, I'm telling you what, man, he's our quality control dude, man. I mean, between him and Harrison, I mean, the knowledge that these two guys know is just, it's crazy.
Yeah.
And their want to make it perfect, to make it sound good, to, you know, use everything to the best of their ability. Mm-hmm. And that is why Warpath sounds like Warpath. That's why we have that specific sound. We're good. We're good that way with these guys. So
yeah, it seems like it's a really good, you guys, your music is tight and you guys have great stage presence. A
lot of work.
Yeah. It definitely is a lot of work, but you guys definitely pull it off and you guys have great chemistry on stage for sure. And the music obviously speaks for itself as well.
Our last show was so on fire, man. Yeah. I mean, the crowd, best crowd I've ever played to.
We played with the Iron Maidens that is coming up in a new podcast for you. So we played with the Iron Maidens, had an amazing show. Amazing show. It was a great turnout.
Yeah, that was a really good show. I think that's probably the best show I've seen you guys play.
Yeah, it was good times.
Awesome. Just so we can get a feel for who each of you guys are, go around and say, I want what your name is, your respective instrument. If you have any brand loyalty.
I'm Chance Perez. So I am the lead singer as well as the guitar player, mostly rhythm. And brand loyalty, that's why I was kind of chuckling. I don't have no brand loyalty. Anything that sounds good that I can play easily through, I'm all for.
But what do you play though? Like, what are your...
Right now I play Ibanez guitars with Randall amplifiers.
And what about those two brands do you like? Like, tone or just the...
Ibanez, I really like the fact that they're super playable. Mm-hmm. It's a very dynamic guitar as well, because I play in other bands personally, so I can use that for any of the bands that I play in. And Randall is just so ballsy, and it's just such a strong metal amp that it doesn't quite... Like, there's... I haven't found a tone that's like a Randall.
Mm-hmm.
That I actually like for Warpath.
Yeah.
Warpath's tone is really
ballsy.
Dependent on that Randall.
And yeah.
It's heavy low end, and it's a very tight register.
Awesome. How about you, Harrison?
My name is Harrison Whitecloud, and I'm the lead guitarist and backup vocalist of Warpath. And I play Jackson guitars mainly. Jackson has just always been a brand that I've been, you know, just kind of attracted to, you know, aesthetically, mm-hmm. sonically. You know, they're extremely comfortable to play, and for everyone that I've always picked up, even if it's just a shitty, you know, $50 one,
mm-hmm.
it's always played and sounded great. So those are really like attached to what I like to use. You know, they're just really, really awesome guitars. And for, you know, amps, I use Randall amps. They've always just kind of been the staple for me. And, you know, my first real deal amp was a fucking Randall.
Yeah.
And the tone was just super organic, and it was something I, you know, fell in love with even before, you know, I heard of big guys like, you know, Pantera that actually use that stuff. And you know, it's just something that's been a staple of my sound. And you know, I'm fortunate enough to, you know, have convinced, you know, both guitar or well, Chance in particular, you know, to use the same amps that I'm using, because
yeah. I love
they're,
them.
They're a really defined sound that you can't really get from any other amp companies. So
yeah, that's what I've been using. And do you feel that it complements you guys' guitar playing well with you both using a Randall amp?
Yeah, completely.
It's definitely I guess the best way to explain it is we have two different tones personally, but still uniform in a way. You know,
harmonious, totally.
Yeah, it's harmonious. There you go. Yeah, both of those tones together really complement each other. I like to play with a lot of mid range personally. Harrison.
I like to dial back on my gain a lot. Like, you don't really need you don't really need a lot of gain to get a good tone. It's all in your hands and, you know, you know, what you can do with, you know, the guitar and the instrument itself. The rest of it is just kind of, you know, helping it in a way.
Yeah. And so with that, do you consider yourself a wizard at playing guitar?
I certainly do my best.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, I'm better. Sometimes not so much. But, I mean, on my good days, sometimes.
Yeah. Awesome. How about you, Dean?
I'm Dean Osuna, the drummer. I play on stage a Mapex kit. Funny enough, I've been playing with Danny since I was a kid.
Man. Yeah. So,
for a lot of years. And the funny story is that we searched for this drum set 10 years before Warpath even played. Danny and I were playing together. We were doing some stuff together.
Yeah.
I had just gotten home. We searched for a kit because we needed a bigger sound.
Yeah.
You know, there's a 10, 12, 14... 12, 14, 16, and 18 on this kit. It's a Mapex, and that's the Warpath huge sound for the drums. And, you know, it's kind of the staple we use.
With a Vinnie Paul snare.
With a Vinnie Paul snare on there, man. I mean, you're talking the epitome of the 80s huge drum
sound.
It's
a thick drum sound.
It really is.
To complement the guitars and bass.
Complement those guitars, which again stacks the tones for us to become Warpath and who, like, sonically who we are.
Yeah.
Evans drum heads as well.
For tone, for sure. Aquarian kick heads.
Mm-hmm.
Zildjian and Sabian cymbals. I have both.
Yeah.
Quality.
They sound pretty rad.
Yeah, you got to have quality. It is definitely what you pay for and how you buy the music. You can't go cheap. It's the quality. It's definitely got to be there. What else I got? I use DW hardware.
I noticed you had some glow drumsticks at the last one.
I got those for Christmas.
That was pretty rad.
I got those for Christmas. Yeah, a little something to the stage.
Yeah.
You know.
Got a vinyl stick bag.
You know. Like, yeah, and then like Chance said,
I
played a couple other bags in advance, so I have a couple of the kits. I have a PDP that's, you know, it's just a standard kit that it's a rock kit. It plays, it does the job, but the definitely the kicker is that big Mapex kit.
Yeah, you
know,
definitely.
The Warpath sound.
It's pretty heavy.
Yeah.
All right, Dan.
My name is Danny Trujillo. I'm the bass player for Warpath. I play Ibanez basses, a 4 and 5 string. Play Mark bass amplification with Dark Glass amplification. Basically my rig right there, since it's pretty simple.
Yeah.
A lot of crunch to it, a lot of low end.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we pride ourselves in having that tone that goes with the Randalls, my bass rig, that complements that very well. Because we work very hard on all of us getting tone together between guitars, bass, and drums to work out a drum that sounds how our music that sounds like how we are as a band and our influences, and that makes up Warpath as a tone.
Yeah.
That sets the mood for the whole band.
The whole band for the whole night. It's from the first note that we hit.
And that's been something that we really get a lot of positive feedback on, is when we play
always
shows, is tone that we have is it's definitely us, but it's
It's definitely part of it, it stands out.
It definitely does stand out, you know, and you know that when other musicians that you're playing with that night are asking about your rigs. They're like, what are you guys using, yeah, man? You guys sound really heavy, you know.
Take a lot of pride in our tone.
So, yeah, it was cool. We had we did the last Iron Maiden show, and Nikki, the guitar player, she's absolutely amazing. Standing there watching the show, you know. She came up to Chance and I after the show, and we're trying to tell her, you know, you played an amazing show, and she's like, oh, no, no, no. Like, you guys played. You guys were awesome. We're like, yeah. Jazz, like, so, you know.
Yeah, she was watching the show from the corner over there. Yeah. It was pretty awesome to see one of the Iron Maidens checking out your guys' show. That was pretty rad.
Yeah,
for
tell
sure.
me about it. I was up there like, oh, no, my lead's coming up. I'm
Don't fuck
suck.
Up now.
So speaking of influences, who are your guys' influences that got you into music? It could be any influences at all.
We were just talking about this at the house, you know. Yeah. Personally, I would have never picked up the guitar if it wasn't for Angus Young from AC/DC.
Yeah.
And then, you know, influences just kind of like grow and branch out and evolve over time. You know, it went from.
But that was the one that got you into it.
That's the one that was the kicker. That was I remember for like my 10th birthday, I got the like box set, and it was the Plug Me In Live DVD. And I was just watching them play live, and Angus Young has so much energy, and he's just going batshit crazy out there. And I'm like, that's what I want to fucking do. That yeah. looks fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Pretty much, like, essentially, that's the kicker. That was, like, my main influence to get the whole ball rolling, to get this whole story
started. To become a musician.
Of where I am today.
Awesome. What about you, Harrison? What was your influence that got you in to music?
Certainly AC/DC.
Yeah.
A really huge influence of mine is definitely Kiss.
Yeah.
Kiss.
I
would not have, like, even thought of, you know, like, picking up a guitar and making any sound if it wasn't for Kiss.
Yeah.
And Led Zeppelin. Like, all three of those guys just kind of, like, compiled into one is just, like, yeah, what really... you know, started that fire.
Yeah.
You know, it's so, like, even to this day, I listen to them, like, you know, religiously.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's always good to stick to your roots and, you know.
Yeah, definitely. And so you play lead guitar for Warpath, but you also play the drum.
Yeah, like, well, I'm a multi-instrumentalist.
Yeah, so do you think Led Zeppelin would be, like, a good influence for you on the drum?
No, because John Bonham is just a fucking octopus on the drum. He's got fucking eight arms doing this shit.
All right.
Can't be what your idols are, dude.
Yeah. No, but that's pretty rad, though. I mean, like, being a multi-instrument, like, Chance is a multi-instrumentalist. Is that how you say that?
I think the whole band is.
That's what makes us really great as well, I feel like. I'm really happy with this group that we have here, because the thing is it's not like we completely rely on the creative license of one other member to decide everything that happens, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's, you know, everybody has their input. Harrison, as you said, plays drums as well, so if there's a drum part that we're all talking about,
he can contribute.
About, you know,
he
we
has
can
something.
All, you know,
yeah.
contribute to,
definitely. Awesome.
To the production of a single song. You know.
Yeah, that's awesome. What about you, Dino? What is your musical influence?
So
that got
since
you?
There was a couple Dino. Different answers, right? Oh. Musically and growing up wise, there's two different answers. So I give you the first one. And the first one was, like, I remember the first music. Was like, because I'm old, some Beatles and like...
Because you're old.
Because I'm old. And different old things like that. But when it really sunk in, it was music like Buddy Holly and Elton John.
That's pretty
Those
rad.
Those two.
Yeah.
I mean, we had this Ford Fairmont. It was like a 1976 beige Ford Fairmont station wagon.
Mm-hmm.
It had an 8-track player in it.
Oh,
man.
Gosh.
And we had those... See, 8-tracks in there, along with Kiss, like with Harrison.
Yeah.
And then when I saw Kiss, when I saw them on that 8-track and their makeup, I was just like, oh my God, what? I gotta.
Yeah.
I have to be this, you know? So, yes, growing up with those guys and Kiss and the whole time. Then my sister turned me on to Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Foghat, Foreigner, Lynyrd Skynyrd, all these killer bands that were just made my Black Sabbath, all these, you know.
Yeah.
Heart.
Coming up through the 80s.
Yeah. Heart. And then, of course, my coming up through the 80s, Motley Crue.
Oh, for sure.
Iron Maiden, Twisted Sister, all that shit. Yeah. So, musically,
that's where it started.
We're influenced by Pantera.
Definitely. Oh, for sure. Like, as a band, you guys are definitely influenced by the 80s metal, for sure.
Yeah.
But your personal influences got you Elton John and...
Elton John and fucking, Buddy Holly.
Buddy Holly, there you go.
Toto. Buddy Holly.
Toto. What about you, Danny?
Toto.
My influences when I first started playing guitar for me was Metallica. That set the bar for me as a young kid playing guitar, experiencing Metallica and being like, whoa, this is fucking metal for me. That was like, and that got me into playing guitar as a young kid. And the next stage, which was my major influence, and I think this was, I think all of our big influences, Pantera.
Oh, yeah, for
sure. That set the fucking, that was like the ultimate bar of like all, end all, be all.
Untouchable.
Of heaviness, of musicianship, of just like, wow. Rowdiness, you know?
Watching fucking all rock star, all the way around.
And watching the Pantera videos. And
thinking, yeah, exactly.
Thinking that's how rock stars are, man. I strive to be like a rock star like that and have. The musicianship, the sound, the whole nine of just being an authentic band, without all the horse shit, you know what I mean?
It's about the music.
It is. For that band was a big influence on me.
Yeah.
You could hear it in our music.
Yeah, I can definitely
play. You can hear a big,
I can definitely hear Pantera. A lot of elements of Pantera in your guys' music. It's definitely, if you know Pantera and you hear Warpath, you hear that element for sure.
Together,
hear that influence.
So, is there any new music out that you guys are currently digging?
Yep, for all the women out there in women land.
Fucking take mine.
I'm taking it.
Fucking take mine.
I'm taking it.
Ginger.
Yep. Ginger.
Ginger.
No.
Just Ginger.
Check out Ginger. That band Ginger.
J-I-N-J-E-R.
Yeah.
She's a female singer, and she's about 4'8", and she's absolutely amazing.
Yeah, that's rad.
She's
pretty
hard. So, yeah, she's very hard.
Tatiana.
I love her.
That's great.
And I think that's kind of a beauty of it, too, is we all introduce each other to different types of music, as well as the old school music and stuff that's coming out now that influences Warpath as a band.
Yeah.
Because we all like the same type of music, but all these new bands coming out, all the old bands, you know.
And there's elements too with the new stuff coming out that you can, there's like that new form of it that you can incorporate the older stuff into your personal sound, and you can kind of like take from that. You're like, oh, I like that, and you want to incorporate it, but still you can make it your own.
That's Warpath.
Yeah.
That's Warpath for sure, right?
Yeah.
There.
But you guys do sound very unique though too, because there is actually a very special element about you guys, and that is you guys are all Native American.
That's right. We are all Native American. We come from the two reservations that are close to each other. San Diego County, and one is Barona, where Danny and Harrison are from, and Santa Isabel, where Chance and I are from.
That's rad. You know, like, there's a lot of, for as far as metal bands go, you don't have, I know, right? There's not an all Native American metal band. Now, you guys incorporate your Native American heritage into some songs and to like some of your
show. Our stage show is all about
It's incorporating that, but you still have your own sound that is completely metal, and it's still very unique to who you guys are as a metal band. And I think that's pretty rad. Like a lot of people,
it's fun to have watching us grown. Like
from
where we just kind of had a couple pieces of makeup on and thought we were cool about it, to where, you know, Danny fully paints it up, like,
got your war paint full blown going on. Like,
no,
you're
it's
going
really
to
a
war.
Transformation for sure. Like we are. It's almost an alter ego up there on stage of who we Warpath actually is.
That's
like,
what they want to see, though. Exactly. They want to see aliens from outer space. They don't want to see the guy next door.
It's also amazing to see the response of the crowd to the last couple of years of how they really take into how we sound, how we look, our native culture, and how we introduce it into our songs and our music, our stage performance, all that. It's been a really great reception.
Yeah, and do you think that incorporating that, is it helping bring awareness to the fact about your Native American culture? No, it's okay.
Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Because we were getting Okay, responses from all over the nation. All over the world.
Yeah. All over the world. Absolutely all over the world.
A lot of people, Indian reservations in Canada, all over across the nation.
Finland.
Yeah. New Zealand.
Really appreciate
that culture in there and just like the fucking music.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's what it's for us, just like the fucking music. Yes, we are Native American.
But you play metal, though.
Right. And we're just being Indians. You know what I mean? We're just being Native Americans.
We're just being who we are.
Yeah. We're just being who we are. Yeah. And it just happens to be something that pretty much everyone can relate to because of the sadness and the sorrow and all the trials and tribulations that they've gone through and now the triumphs that these Native people are achieving, you know? Yeah. So, yeah, it's great to be a part of it. It's great to have that as a vehicle, you know? So
definitely. Bring awareness, and you guys are playing some kick-ass music.
Another thing about it is, you know, the tough thing about incorporating, you know, our culture into our music is trying not to overdo it.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, because, I mean, if we, let's say we did some, like, we overdid it, like, we'd receive a lot of backlash from a lot of the community.
Maybe, like, disrespect.
It's kind of touchy. It is really touchy. You know,
we represent properly.
Yeah, we've had a few people, you know, have us try to push us to where, to, you know, to that area. And, I mean, it's just not.
You just didn't want to go there.
You gotta have a little respect for it before it becomes cheesy.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Well, and also, I mean, if that's your culture, having respect for that and for the music at the same time is huge.
Yeah, because in the end, it's not about, you know, us being four Native guys. It's just about us being a metal band and throwing our hearts out into that crowd.
We're a metal band that's Native American, and I would say that the proper way to create awareness to Native issues and stuff is just to be who we are.
Yeah.
You know? And who we are is we're Native American. You know, we're Native American dudes.
Is this a band meeting?
But the thing is, just doing that and just being who we are and having that heart to be able to like a couple songs that, you know, we've written the subjects and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know? They're about some of our issues. However, I try to keep them universal too, because our issues turn into everybody else's issues.
Yeah.
Because everything is, you know, it's a circle.
Everybody can still relate.
And everybody can still relate. And just being who we are, I feel, is the best path to being able to represent the best way we can.
Definitely. I think that's great. You guys have definitely good. It's like you said. It's a good vehicle. It's a good vehicle, but it's not who you are. It is who you are, but it's not what defines your music.
You guys
define your music, and that's brilliant.
We're ultimately metalheads.
Yeah, for sure.
And first and foremost, we're metalheads, and we happen to be Native American to incorporate.
Yeah.
First and foremost.
Yeah.
We're Native American metalheads, and actually, it was that Revolver magazine that interview, that article that they got.
With those other
guys. And what they said was, you know, we're Native Americans, and our history and our ancestors, you know, there's a lot of pain and there's a lot of anger.
A lot of sadness, a lot of sorrow, a lot of blood.
That's very true.
Yeah.
Survival tactics have kicked in.
Which makes for some really fucking cool songs.
Yeah, really cool. But at the same time, though, there's other cultures, though, that can relate to your guys'
That's why we have Arizona saying, come out here. We have Washington saying, get up here and play.
Yeah.
Oklahoma, they're dying for us. You know?
Canada, Europe.
Canada.
Yeah, that's
South
so
Carolina.
Rad. That's rad.
So that's where we're at right now. You know?
Nigeria.
Conquer Nigeria. conquer the nation.
Right, there you go. Warpath Nation, conquering it all.
That's right.
All right. So what are you guys currently working on? Any projects in the near future that we should be looking out for?
Yes, we are working on our summer tour.
Summer tour. What is that looking like?
It starts July 9th and goes through July 18th. We are going to do 7 shows.
Okay. And where are those going to be located?
We're going to kick the show off somewhere in L.A., hopefully Malone's, maybe Anaheim area. We're going to head up to Crockett, California. We're going to play at Toots. We're going to head to Medford, Oregon.
Okay.
We're going to head to Portland, Oregon, and then we are going to go to our destination, which would be July 15th at Rivera Fest.
Rivera Fest.
Okay.
In Myrtle Creek.
Okay.
Which is where we did. We had that line last year.
Last year, yeah.
And then we're going to head on back to Fresno, California, and do our last show in LA.
Awesome.
On the 16th.
All right, so if you guys are out at those cities, definitely be on the lookout for Warpath and make sure you either get tickets or you at least just show up and check out the band because they are pretty rad.
In conjunction with that, we're finishing our CD and we're working on a music video, which should be coming out
okay.
this summer as well.
All right. Is there the music video? What song are you guys doing?
Decimation.
Decimation? All right. That's definitely going to be a good one to look out for.
Be good. Be really good. That song slaps.
Clap. So you guys are talking about your respective instruments and how it works very conducively for all you guys. What is your songwriting process? Do you do lyrics first, music first? What does that look like for you guys?
Nowadays, it's been...
Kind of random.
Nowadays, it's been a little random. You know, they come in so many different ways. As of recently, it's been kind of like Chance and I kind of collaborate on something and then hopefully that comes into fruition and you know write something new.
You know, the thing is, as one of the songs that we just recently wrote, it's one of the new ones, we're saving it for some second album material. We got a lot of big stuff coming, you know, but we're gonna really make this second album a real production and stuff like that, so I'm not gonna disclose too many details.
All right, keep it a secret,
surprise you and have that album just sock you right in the face.
Well, I mean, just getting your guys' first album underway will be milestone right there. Just to get right? the music exactly. out there is gonna be
it'll be huge.
It's gonna be great.
You know, but in the meantime, you know, we're working on that kind of stuff, and as of lately, yeah, Harris and I would collaborate on something, but the thing is, lyrics first, music first, it's all kind of random. It really is kind of whatever flows.
Yeah.
You know, what was it? We have, like, stockpiles and stockpiles of riffs that we've written, like, that still haven't been used, but the thing is if we get a song subject that can really put the song or songwriting process in motion, I went back on an old subject that we had started on after we just wrote like a riff, and I was like trying to like, before we wrote this riff, I was like, what riff can I put this music to, you know, like what will fit this, you know, theme. And then we wrote that riff, and it was like, oh, okay, sweet. So, but then a lot of times I've written the lyrics before, and a lot of times I've written the music before. It's just kind of whatever flows.
Yeah.
It's a very trying process. Recording and writing is very tough, and we all try to put our influences in and try to incorporate how we feel as writing together, and it's really difficult. But we have a recording studio at our fingertips,
mm-hmm.
live and a recording studio at our fingertips. So really take a lot of time to really work out the intricacies of every single part, dual guitars, and the rhythm section. And the vocals, so it's really kind of bring a unique sound and try to work on certain elements of every single instrument to have a really, really good song. It's trying, but it's really interesting trying to do the recording process and writing process.
Like writing, you know, this next album is not, you know, it's not meant for Warpath to just shit out songs.
Yeah.
You know, the reason why it's taken us so long to record this is because, you know, we're not trying to give our fans some shitty fucking material.
Yeah, definitely.
You know? We're trying to give them, you quality, know, the quality that they deserve, you know, because we would not be anywhere without these fans. If it was. And, you know, like, hopefully not, but I hope, you know, the next album won't take as long as...
We've
you
got know, the some one. Songs down already. I mean, we've got a few, shit, four to six ideas, two down already, new stuff. Yeah, we got some stuff.
Yeah, it's a long process, but... You know, in the end, you're not going to end up with shit.
Yeah, well, that's definitely good to know for your fans, for sure, and your soon-to-be fans. You talk about, like, it's kind of a trying process with all of you guys having your input in it. Are there any songs that you guys have written just that came out of nowhere, like you're staring at the toaster, the coils are orange, and somebody's like yelling in the background like, what the fuck's going on here? Well, and then like, boom.
Fucking No Mercy. That song came out just like that.
Tell us about that
one. It was Dean's birthday, actually.
Yeah.
And we were going to eat dinner at Bull Weevil here in Ramona. And be down, you know, it's just like, fucking bitch cunt X. You know, and man, it was just like, it was one of those songs. I was just like, I had these fucking feelings festering, and then just on the way down, I wrote all the lyrics to the song. I didn't know the riff, anything like that. I just wrote some lyrics down, and then shortly after that, the riff just kind of just popped in my head, just like that. And then I went home, I picked up the guitar, I played exactly the riff that popped in my head,
And then I looked at the lyrics and it just came together, you know. Bitches like you get no mercy from me.
Yeah.
Boom.
And that's actually like that's one of your more popular songs. That one
can get the crowd going. We certainly did at Brick by Brick with the Iron Maidens, you know.
Yeah, the mosh pit started with that one. Yeah. I saw that.
Let's see you go crazy in that pit. You know, show no mercy.
Yeah.
You know, and the thing is like as I said, I like to keep the lyrics as universal as possible.
Yeah.
So I mean, we all know some bitches out there. Not all of them are women. There's definitely a lot of dudes that it's like, what a fucking bitch.
Right. Yeah,
another song that kind of just popped up spontaneously is our latest song, Sleep.
Yeah.
It was Halloween night. It was Chance, like the night of Chance's birthday, and we got really fucked up, and we ended up just waking up. I got punched in the face.
You got punched in the face.
Yeah. But I mean, woke up super hungover, and you know, just spent like I think it was like literally less than an hour. We wrote an entire song. Like it just appeared out of nowhere on Chance's birthday.
So you guys were
all
drinking and like just lit. You got punched in the face, and you're like, let's write a song.
No.
The next day. Next
day. Woke up the next morning.
Super. Hungover.
Definitely ill.
Worst like hangover I've had in like a really long time.
Like I had nothing left in my stomach to throw up.
Yeah. And you're writing songs on a throw up stomach.
We're just all like, let's write a song.
That just came out of nowhere. You know, the whole structure of it. Yeah. And then Chance threw down the lyrics. They fit perfectly. And boom, it was a new song.
Awesome.
I guess that's the secret formula for writing new songs.
Getting pretty wasted and punched in the face. And then there you go.
It's the way Pantera would have done it.
Yeah. Oh, there exactly. you go. There you go. Influence at its best right there. Yeah. So you do have, Pantera is a musical influence. Do you guys play any covers when you play shows?
Yeah.
And what covers do you play?
Covers. Oh, how many?
Well, not how many. How
Infinity.
About,
Infinity.
Let's have your top three, your top three covers that you guys play.
Definitely Domination by Pantera.
Yeah.
Of course.
Definitely.
Right Now by
Sepultura.
Sepultura Roots.
Yeah.
Yeah, Right Now has actually become like a recent favorite cover of mine personally.
Well, we played it all flawless tonight.
Sepultura?
Except for the end,
No. Right Now by Korn.
Okay.
Yeah, we covered that one. And honestly, like, I don't know why it took us so long to cover this song. You know, we just kind of like.
And which Korn song is it?
Right Now.
Okay.
It's a pretty good song. And we played it pretty much perfectly tonight. And it's just like the tone that we have, that we play with, and how we play it, and the tone coming from our fingers, and like the own spin and our own magic that we put on that song. It's become a recent favorite of mine personally. I don't know about you.
Yeah. Like
so we got Pantera Domination, Sepultura Roots, and then Korn Right Now.
Yeah.
Awesome. Those are great songs. If you guys could collaborate with any other musician, who would it be?
I know.
All of you guys have got like a different one, so let's just go around the table right now.
Chance and I would probably.
Wait, hold on. Do they have to be live?
It does not have to be live. It just they could even be dead. If you could collaborate with any musician, who would it be? Let's start with you, Dean.
Collaborate with any musician, right? Yeah. So it would be just a band. I would like to work with the Dead Serial Killers. They got Chance and I have been listening to them. Their CD came out pretty good. It sounds like old school Slipknot. So, I mean,
they kind of look like old school Slipknot.
They have this drum thing that they start with that I was talking about. If we do like a little, mini tour over the county with us and them, and they have this drum thing that we could do together, it would probably be pretty cool. We were talking about that just the other day.
Yeah, we're talking about like it'd be. That's
something that's actually.
That's like personal and feasible.
Feasible, yeah. Right? We can do that.
Dead Celery Killers are a local band. Local band, and you guys are fans of them.
I'm the original bass player. Dead Celery Killers.
Wow! Newsflash. My gosh. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Dean's also quite the musical freaking. Whore.
No need to sugarcoat it.
No, he taught me how to play guitar, you know? So,
what about you, Harrison?
Fuck, definitely. Play the guys from Tool. Guys from Tool just write, it's so organic, like the music that they write, you know, from their first album all the way to their latest album, which is 2006. They're taking way too long.
2006 Tool.
But like their songs they're produced so well that they could be 13 minutes long, and With the help of a fucking bong load, you know, you could just fucking... It'll keep you just immersed in the music. It's just so powerful. Like, it just draws you in. It doesn't matter how long the song is. Yeah. It sounds so fucking awesome.
Yeah.
The
live show.
Yeah, Tool's incredible. Pretty amazing.
Something else, the musicianship is just... incredible.
So inspiring to go see your bands like that, and then you like see them on that huge big stage, the professional production behind it, everything behind it, and they're up there playing flawless, you know. And it's just like, that it gives me inspiration, gives me drive to do what I do and play that right, make those fans feel that same thing when we're playing, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
That's where I get it from, you know. That's where I draw it from there, yeah. Right there.
So Harrison, you said Tool. That would be your band for sure.
Yeah.
What about you, Chance?
Firstly, since you said that they don't have to be alive.
Nope.
I would give my left nut, and I can say that in pure like confidence.
Jiffy.
to go back and just like sit with Dimebag Darrell.
Oh, okay,
Darryl.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
God damn.
Work with him. And, like, watch, just, like, to be able to, like, watch him play. And just, because he's just, like, you just watch these videos, and I've never got to, like,
he'll give you a lesson right there.
He's
going to
walk at the door and say, give me your left nut.
It's, like, out of, like, everybody that's ever said that they've, like, seen a show or, with him or whatever, bumped into him or whatever, he's the most down-to-earth kind of guy that there ever was. And to be able to work with somebody that had a heart like that and talent like that would be absolutely life-changing for me.
Totally.
Yeah.
And definitely worth my left nut.
Yeah. Definitely. If he walked through the door, he'd be like, give me your left nut right now. You're like, cut it off.
Take both of them, motherfucker. Hey, go borrow his too, shit.
How about you, Danny?
Well, for me, I would say Dime too, but that's just like a natural.
This is like obvious, right? Yeah. You know,
but I would really love to collaborate with, and not necessarily the band, but a musician.
Yeah.
Who is long gone would be the Rev.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
The Rev from Avenged Sevenfold.
Yeah.
He is one amazing fucking drummer. To be able to explore music with that guy would be amazing.
Yeah.
Because such an amazing drummer that I think. It'd be interesting to collaborate with a musician who is so knowledgeable. That would be very interesting to play music with him.
Definitely.
On
sure.
A different level, too. His musicianship, playing with a drummer like that, you know?
Yeah.
Man, like you said, I think it's explained that well. Danny's explore music with him. That only way it would be.
Yeah. So we've talked a lot about people that you influence you guys, who you follow in their footsteps. What advice would you have for someone wanting to follow in your guys' footsteps as musicians?
Practice.
Can't be what Toronto's all. Practice, man.
You learn from your... everybody else who... Because every band... Who anybody musician who's anybody has borrowed from somebody else.
Yeah,
absolutely. And they're all from the dawn of time.
They're all influences.
Yeah.
I think that makes you a musician and as a band is the practice as an individual and as a band to work together to strive to make the best music you can as an individual and as a collaborative band together to be able to be the best you can. I think that'd be summing up for any musician is. Practice, man.
Yeah, practice is definitely a key component if you want to be
And if you could shadow somebody without bothering them or if you have the cool or the whatever it takes to shadow somebody who has the time and the equipment and the knowledge to teach you, do it. Ask them whatever it takes, you know, get in there, learn that stuff and have that mentor, you know?
Yeah, definitely. You guys, in all of your guys' musicianship history, of whether it's pre-Warpath or in Warpath, what is your favorite venue that you guys have played so far?
Chain Reaction was really cool.
Yeah?
That was up in Anaheim.
What about you, Harrison?
I don't think I really want to choose a venue. I'd rather choose Rivera Fest because that was just some fucking backyard.
That's totally cool.
Backyard stage, you know, just a,
like a hundred,
a couple hundred people just so stoked to hear your music. That was like a life-changing, you know, experience for me. And like just the fact that they were just so real and honest about, you know, just their love for what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, I think that was... That has to be my favorite stage.
And the first time ever seeing you, you know?
Yeah.
That was the...
They had no music to go by?
No, that was the craziest thing, you know? I personally did not know what I was going into, especially since they had us headline, you know, and I was just like, they've never fucking heard us.
They've never heard
ever,
us. Yeah, but you know, you got to figure these guys are driving up from San Diego, man. Yeah. They got to be doing something. They're not going to play a couple cover songs and, you know,
right,
pussyfoot around on the stage.
Yeah, definitely. So. Chance, would you say that Rivera Fest would be your favorite venue that you've played so far in your music history?
So, thing is, that was probably the best, like,
experience?
Show with the people and the experience and, you know, our journey up there. But I personally do have to give credit to Brick by Brick, you know. Well, before we were playing at Brick by Brick, we were playing at, like, Queen Bee's and, like, North Park and stuff like that. But we got a couple shows at Brick by Brick, and that gave us enough footing to be able to play bigger and bigger shows. And
a lot of great bands come through Brick by Brick.
Yeah. It's always better when Colin's mixing, too, at Brick.
Shout out to Colin.
Shout out to Colin.
Shout out to Colin.
And the bald guy with the
and
beard.
Luke.
I forgot
and
his
Luke.
Name. I feel bad.
Luke. He's awesome.
Luke's awesome.
But I do have to give credit to Brick by Brick because, you know, the people that come through there, you know what you're going to get when you go to Brick by Brick. It's a metal show. You know, so what you're getting when you play at Brick by Brick are metalheads watching you play. So that is pretty much the biggest, like, kick forward that we got as far as building our fan base here in San Diego, in my opinion.
Yeah, Brick, yeah.
All right. And shout Danny, out. You've had a lot of music experience in your history. What would be your favorite venue that you've played?
The favorite venue that I've played would have to be the Rivera Fest too. So
okay.
Because of the crowd that we have, the response that we have, it was a very fun festival.
Mm-hmm.
I do have to give props to Brick by Brick for all the love they showed us.
The staff and everybody, man.
In San Diego
yeah.
to give Warpath a stepping stone to get the fan base that we need in San Diego.
Yeah.
We had a bunch of fun shows out there. Whiskey was a bunch of fun, too.
Yeah, your feet sticking to the carpet. Love the whiskey.
Everybody loves the whiskey.
But, yeah, definitely the reverse.
Awesome.
I remember someone tried to crawl into my bass drum case.
At the whiskey?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, what was that?
The bass drum case smelled like cat piss.
Well, oh gosh, yeah. Oh wait, that was me. Oh shit.
Oops.
Forgot about that.
Wait a minute, I had to.
Why does that sound familiar?
Excellent.
Oh shit, it was me.
Excellent execution, dude.
No, that was brilliant. That was brilliant. That was totally me. Yeah. So next question for that. What is the craziest thing you've had from a fan at one of your shows?
Had from a fan?
Yeah, like what's the weirdest or funniest thing you've ever heard from a fan at a show?
Ever.
My gosh, that was me.
Weirdest thing we've ever heard from a fan?
We don't want to get too many crazy.
We got too many crazy people.
But,
Oh, come on, you're a metal band.
All right, I got one.
Okay.
We're at a show, and they're playing a show, and this gal comes up to me and goes, I'd like to buy you a shot.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay. And we go to the bar to have a drink, and she goes, I've already shown my titties to the rest of the band this evening, but I haven't shown you my titties yet.
I didn't see any fucking titties.
They were fucking gorgeous. I was like, holy shit.
And she goes, show your titties. I'm like, all right, have a fucking couple shots, show some titties. And
Did she show you her titties?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, there you go.
The rest is history.
Yeah, all right, cool.
As far as someone saying stuff like that, no, we just get a bunch of positive responses.
Yeah.
That's good.
That was the craziest for me, too. I was like,
all right.
Holy shit, she's all...
Shots, titties, there you go. So what can be better
than
that?
You're going to buy me a drink and show me your titties?
Score.
Where's the camera?
Am I being punked? What about you, Harrison? What was your craziest thing you've heard from a fan at a show or experience?
One time after a show, this one girl just, like, came up and hugged me, and, like, she would not let go of me. Like, she legit hugged me for, like, three or four fucking minutes, and I was trying to get her off of me. I was like, bro, get the fuck off of me.
Aww.
And, I felt kind of mean, but, I mean, like, dude, I gotta go do shit.
I got things to do.
I got shit to
do. Yeah. What about you, Chance? Was it the shot and titty one?
I mean, like, as I said, she didn't show me her titties.
Yeah.
I'm actually feel left out right now. That happened. Yeah, that was in Rivera Fest, and they were supposed to have a wet t-shirt contest, and we were giving out the shirts at first, and then they canceled, and then one of the chicks was walking away with one of the white Warpath shirts, and I was all like, hey,
here's some water.
No, and I was like, those are for the wet t-shirt contest, and then she just lifts up her shirt and flashes me.
Oh.
It was part of like weird things that people have said to me. I'm also a weirdo. So I probably said like way worse things to the fans.
In all fairness,
I cannot judge, man.
In all fairness, though, man, we've had a bunch of fucking fun responses from fans all over the place. And one of the fucking greatest things is the feel when you're at a show and you have someone come up to you at a fucking concert and be like, hey, you guys are from Warpath. You've done this show. You've done that show. This is so fucking awesome to see you guys, man. Like, it's really a positive feeling that you guys are making a mark in the middle fucking scene.
Yeah, it's really awesome. Dean and I, we were playing with Malachi over somewhere else in San Diego, off Rosecrans.
Yeah.
And this one dude could hardly speak a lick of English, you know? Mexican dude, he's like, I'm Warpath Nation! You know, I love you guys! And it's just like...
We're in Malachi mode.
I'm
not thinking Warpath Nation at all. Yeah. I'm fucking like, what the fuck?
You know, but he just sees us. And he's like, I'm Warpath Nation, you know? And it's like, that is like one of the best feelings to just have somebody come up to you and just be like, you know, I recognize your art, I recognize your work, and I'm Warpath Nation. I'm fucking Warpath family right here, you know?
That's great. Yeah, so cool. I have a question specifically for Dean and Danny, because you guys have been in the music industry the longest. What is the funniest question you have ever been asked in an interview or at a show? Like,
funniest?
For the entirety of your musical career, I want to know what the funniest thing you have ever been asked.
For me, what's your band name?
What's your band name? That's pretty... All right.
For an interview, what's your band name?
Really?
Funniest thing.
For an interview.
I really heard that, man. What's your band name again?
Yeah, okay.
Funniest thing.
That's pretty funny, actually.
Funniest thing. Fucking taking all the time to fucking drive down to goddamn Guitar Center. And you fucking walk in, and the motherfucker says, are you even gonna buy anything? Fuck, you got no money. You know you ain't got no money. You're just sitting there fucking walking around, you know? That's fucking always, you know. We quit going down there without any money.
Yeah. Are you gonna buy anything? And what's your band name?
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
So, and Chance and Harrison. So, for you two specifically, if you could have a vial of sweat of any musician ever, whose would it choose? Who would it be? And what would it taste like?
Creep ass mode here. Tatiana!
I knew you were gonna say that!
And what would it taste like, though?
Oh.
Ass crack, because that's where we'd be coming from.
Oh, I wish I could say Dean was wrong, but he's not.
What about you, Harrison?
Tatiana, why not?
All right, and would it taste like ass crack to you, too?
Yeah, why not?
Hopefully.
Yeah, why not?
Hopefully not.
It tastes like underboob.
Like fucking sweat. Yeah.
Underboob sweat.
Underboob sweat.
There you go, underboob sweat.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, that's the day in life of a metalhead.
That's it.
For sure.
I hope so.
So as a
Otherwise,
fan,
I signed up for the wrong freaking trade.
Right?
Yeah, just kidding.
Speaking of wrong trade, though, if you guys were not musicians, what would you be doing?
I'd be stripping.
You'd be stripping. That's, I guess, a honest living.
Yeah, porn.
Porn, okay. Harrison?
I'd probably be a fucking chef, dude.
A chef?
I love cooking.
Okay.
Cooking is the shit.
What about you, Danny?
There is no other.
There is not. It's
Hey, we could have said that too, but we had to make some shit up, right?
Hey, it'd be Tweaker.
Obviously, I ain't no Magic Mike over here, and I can't be fucking stripping.
Okay.
So it's a good thing you're a musician, then.
No, it's a really great thing I'm a fucking musician. You know?
I'd be like Nikki Six, okay?
Yeah.
That's what I've been doing.
Giving some Motley Crue throwouts there.
I'll
there
be a rock star one way or another.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is a lot of laughs. You guys are so funny. So, is there a band joker in the house? Like, who's the band joker here?
It's Danny.
Danny?
Yeah.
All of us.
Oh, yeah?
All of us, dude.
Mostly it's all of us.
All of us just wind ins, dude.
But Danny talks the most
shit.
Yeah.
Danny talks the most shit.
You know what I want to get Danny for Christmas this year? You know how much I get you for Christmas this year? a fucking pair of jumper cables. You know why? She's like starting shit.
Haven't heard that one before. That's good.
Oh, shit.
Oh, my goodness.
Jerry.
Of course. Yes, Danny. Danny's the guy, man.
You guys.
Hey, it's got to be. You got to be thick-skinned around Danny, dude. Oh, otherwise, you're going to go home crying. Well. You're going to quit your band. If you come to the studio and record and you don't got your shit together, you're going to fucking, your band's going to break up.
You're going to either level up or go home crying.
You're going to go home crying anyways.
Okay.
But your band might break up.
It's funny games. It's all
yeah, whether games. You successfully record the album or not, you're going home crying.
Yeah, you're going home crying. Emotionally.
Because you are very meticulous on your how you produce your sound, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, I've taken.
But some people have a hard time with the constructive criticism.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, Danny here is an engineer as well.
Yeah.
So Warpath is not only his band, but him. Recording this album and stuff like that.
Too.
That's also his name behind the recording.
Yeah. Yeah, that's amazing. That's amazing.
His reputation and all that. It's
yeah,
a bunch
and
of...
you guys do not have a label right now either, which is, I'm going to say that. You guys don't have a
Road
label.
Roadrunner!
We actually turned down labels because we want to do things ourselves.
Yeah.
And I think we're very self-sufficient.
Yeah.
Right now to where we don't really need a label.
Yeah.
In this day and age, you really don't really need a label.
Mm-hmm.
It's about producing yourselves and we have the means to be able to do that.
Yeah.
And I think that as a band we can produce our own stuff,
mm-hmm.
and give it the world without having anybody else influence us, which is a huge plus nowadays to be able to not have an influence of a label.
That is very true. It's very good to be able to have complete creative liberties at your disposal and not have to answer to anybody else. I think the best thing for us rather than a label would just be a straight up agent.
Yeah.
Somebody who has
agent or some sponsors, backing.
Yeah.
Somebody backed us. There's some big money makers that we could, call on that can back us,
And that's
just invest.
That's an amazing thing.
Their brand could be
on
our banner, It's just it's a mutual business thing that we kind of have to feel out as far as sponsorship goes.
Yeah, and you guys have had a lot of opportunities as far as labels come along, but you guys have turned some down, and you guys have not accepted one yet or pursued one either,
which
you guys are open for that, but you guys have the complete control, you have the creative control to produce and play the music that you want without any other influences except for your own.
I think at the end of the day...
The thing is, nowadays with the music industry, it is not what it was,
20 years ago.
I mean, the industry changes every 3 fucking months.
Mm-hmm.
And, nowadays, a label can't throw, $300,000 in your face and be like, here, make a record. No, that is not how they do it. They're like, you pay me $300,000
and
you might make
it.
It is just completely upside down, and labels are just not as reliable.
It's very circumstantial.
It's
how you're playing at these places, like the Whiskey, where back in the 80s, that was the, you had bands like Van Halen, Motley Crue coming through there, where it was something to play at the Whiskey. Nowadays, any hack can pay their way to get on that stage in there, you know what I mean? So, and that's where we got to be careful for the books, the shows that we book.
Yeah.
We don't want to get on a show where it's a bunch of, we've done that before.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of just like, man,
not
this...
All exposure is good exposure. You guys have to pick and choose where you guys want to be exposed.
Exactly. We're not fitting the bill.
Yeah.
Right.
Definitely.
And
that's the biggest thing, It's we just happen to be in the hardest music industry, or the hardest musical genre in the industry to really get into. To really be successful in, Yeah. Metal's people hear metal. The word metal, and they're just like, oh shit.
I know. Satan. They might think it's too aggressive, or they're like, oh, it's the devil's music. Something like that.
But the thing is we've taken it on, and I feel like we're good enough to make some moves and really make a name for ourselves.
Yeah.
We already have here in San Diego,
Yeah, definitely. And having the ability to produce your own music as well, I think that's an amazing tool that you guys have that a lot of bands don't, to actually produce some really good music and some make sure it sounds like quality, like Harrison was saying, quality over just shitting out
fucking
songs, and that's great.
Yeah, because it's easy to go into the studio and write some material that is all right.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, sometimes, you know, there are artists that actually release music like that. Yeah. And I mean, if it works for them, it works for them. But I mean,
but it's less than mediocre sometimes.
Yeah. More. Yeah. Especially nowadays, because
more often than not.
Because yeah. people can produce stuff in their bedrooms. I mean, I certainly can't if I want to right now. Yeah. Like GarageBand, you know. I mean, even on, you know, other DAWs like Reaper and Pro Tools and, you know, whatever else there is, but, you know, it's, in the end, you know, you could use whatever you want on the computer, but, I mean, it's not, if you're making shit, you know, material, then it's going to be shit material.
Yeah, however you produce it or not.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So, this is going to be a fun question. What is your favorite 90s jam? Could be anything. I mean, I know somebody here loves some Britney Spears.
I would think for me, for the 90s, a couple bands that stick out for me would be Seven Dust and Trio.
Oh, yeah.
For
okay.
that type of music that introduced, like, getting back to...
Wait, Seven Dust and who?
And Atreyu. Because you're getting back, and maybe even Papa Roach, because you're getting back into like music to where it transitioned from the 80s, which was hair metal, into a certain like genre.
It was like post.
To where you're starting to get back into doing like solos and stuff like that again.
Yeah. So it's like post grunge, and it's like going back into like that metal scene again.
Korn.
Is that new metal?
Yeah, the new metal.
The new metal. Yeah.
New metal. That's just.
You like some Montel Jordan, don't you?
You don't remember my name?
How the
Who
fuck?
The fuck is
how
that?
The fuck?
Who told you?
I'd probably have to say some Alice in Chains.
Okay, Alice in Chains. Really
anything Alice in Chains. Yeah. I love. Yeah.
For me, I'd say probably some first album Slipknot.
Yeah.
And Seven Dust as well.
Some late 90s.
Yeah, I didn't discover Seven Dust until much, much later.
Yeah.
Well, much later. I was like, late 13, 90s. I guess. I was like 13 years old when I discovered Seven Dust, and they were kick ass.
Yeah.
You know, and they're totally. I would say they're the most underrated band, like, ever to come out of that.
Yeah, Seven Dust is a rad generation, band, you know. For sure.
Morgan Rose is a fucking phenomenal drummer.
What about you, Dean? What's your favorite 90s band?
90s, gosh dang. Rammstein came out in the 90s, didn't they?
Oh, yeah, they did.
Yeah, they were really really cutting edge, man. They were foreign.
They're pretty
gnarly.
That's
heavy.
What they are.
I really was into them for a while. System of a Down, they were good. In
the
90s.
Oh, shit, System!
I miss
System.
Yeah.
System!
That kind of stuff really
turned
it off.
We all love System.
Yeah.
In a way, that's like... That's like a really unfair question. There's so many.
There's so many good things.
And
so
in the 90s, you know, I was at a time in my life where, you know, I wasn't the healthiest, you know, mentally and physically. So these bands and some of these songs were like, even if I hear them today, I could still smell some of the things that were happening.
You
know what I mean? Yeah, man. I taste of these, you know, things.
For sure. Well, 90s had a lot of things going on. I mean, you had, like, coming out of the 80s, you had the new pop music, you had grunge, you had the post-grunge at the end of the 90s, and then metal coming out, the new metal. Also, what are you guys currently watching on Netflix?
The Dirt.
There
I'm
you go.
I'm waiting to watch The Dirt because I'm reading the
Motley
book and I'm almost finished.
Yeah.
The Dirt.
And how do you like it?
It was
Don't give it away,
cool,
but yeah, it's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, it's pretty fucking cool, man. It's not the book.
Yeah.
And that's totally cool. But
yeah.
There's too much in that book. To represent in fucking 2 hours.
Yeah,
it.
That's
it just,
true.
There's much too much in that book to represent in 2 hours.
It was good, though.
That
was
fucking
really
movie
good.
Was cool as fuck, man. For a Netflix.
I was stoked. Machine Gun Kelly plays Tommy Lee.
And I don't
like,
even like
I was
that.
Like, what the fuck?
I don't even like that kid, personally.
Yeah,
but I don't
he
like
played
that
it.
Kid either.
He played it, though.
I'm
not even going to watch the movie now.
I think he did a great job.
Yeah,
playing.
They did.
Tommy
I
Lee.
Think he definitely think he did a great job, too.
I think he did, but yeah. Netflix,
The Dirt. All right. What
I'll
about
be
you
on
guys?
It as soon as I read the book. But I watch.
Read?
I watch. Yeah. I watch episodes over and over and over and over episodes of American Horror Story.
Okay.
Usually
American
called
Horror Story.
Yeah.
Usually
American
called,
Horror Story is a good
I
show.
Watch it over and over for some stupid reason. Over and over and over.
Yeah. And what about you guys? What are you guys watching on Netflix?
What am I not watching on Netflix?
I'm a fucking
Hulu
porn.
Guy.
Oh, you're a Hulu.
I'm
okay.
A
what are you watching on Hulu?
I'm on Netflix.
I mean, I rewatch like every single fucking thing. There's like I don't really watch a lot of new TV.
Yeah.
But, like I watch like a lot of documentaries. Like one really good documentary to check out on Netflix is Some Kind of Monster.
Okay.
Metallica, Some Kind of Monster. Yeah. That one's really cool. And I just watch a bunch of fucking TV shows on Hulu from my fucking childhood and shit. So.
So if we hooked up, who here listens uses Spotify as a music engine?
I do.
Okay. So if we hooked up your Spotify right now and put it through the PA, what would we be listening to right now?
Fucking Donna Summer.
No. Cyndi Lauper.
Yeah. Girl Just Want to Have Fun.
Nah, True Slipknot. Colors.
True Colors.
Mudvayne.
Okay.
A lot of Mudvayne.
Slipknot.
Slipknot and Cyndi Lauper.
Ginger.
Ginger, definitely Ginger.
Dead okay. Serial Killers.
Are they on Spotify?
Yeah, they are on Spotify. Okay.
But to be all in all serious, man, about 2-3 weeks, man, you can catch Warpath.
Yeah.
On Spotify.
On Spotify,
fuck
there you go.
Yeah, you hear that?
Also,
yes.
We're a dirtbag endorsed artist.
Yeah, that's right.
So you get your
yeah, Dirtbag Clothing. You guys are endorsed by them. That's an amazing endorsement right there.
Dirtbag has their swag. Own Spotify as well.
Okay.
So we are going
You guys
to
are on their playlists
as well.
Yes.
Awesome. So what do you guys do outside of music that recharge you or give you musical influence? Even whether it's musical influence or it helps you recharge to come back and do music effectively. Like, what do you guys do on your off time for that?
Play.
You don't garden or anything?
Oh,
like
yeah,
that?
Garden. I golf.
Okay.
I ride motorcycles.
You know,
okay.
I raise kids.
Somebody
I do all kinds of shit. I do so much crap that when I go play with Warpath, it's like my church, my sanctuary.
Okay, so when you come home and from a tour, from shows, like what do you do to recharge? Is you deal with your kids and you garden and ride motorcycles and shit? Smoke a bowl.
Smoke a bowl.
Do some heroin,
Jazz
you know.
Mix it with some cocaine.
Okay, well, you know, we all have ambition. What about you, Harrison?
Yeah, ditto. What he said.
I do a lot of studio work now. Like,
okay.
I joined the sound engineering program that Danny joined.
Okay.
Back a few years back.
Long ass time ago.
Yeah. So yeah, I've been doing a lot of that. I mean, I fucking play a shit ton of video games. I fucking go on walks and shit.
Yeah.
You know, just regular old kinds of stuff, but definitely a lot of studio work.
Yeah, so just sticking with music as essential, just a different avenue of it helps you recharge so you can be on stage and be playing your music.
I mean, even just listening to music. Like, when I'm bored and I have absolutely jack shit to do, I just listen to music.
Awesome.
Like, it's like my,
you eat,
it's
breathe, my, sleep it.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. Somebody just recently asked me too, like, they're like, oh, what do you like to do in your free time? I'm like, well, play guitar. You know, and they're like, well, like, you
I noodle
any,
around.
You have any other hobbies? I'm like,
no,
not fucking really. You know, if you ever played video games with me, I'm really fucking bad because I don't play enough to actually get good. Because I start sucking at a game, and then I'm like, fuck this, I'm gonna play some guitar. And then I just wanted to play.
Cry around, huh?
Yeah, cry around a lot.
Stop crying around.
Rage quit. Throw the controller.
Yeah.
At my brother.
Xbox out the window. All right, so we've already talked about how your fans can get access to your music, and you do have a CD release coming up on April 7th. So we're going to be looking forward to that on iTunes and Spotify, CD
Everywhere.
Baby.
Everywhere we
and
can.
We're to be determined of your CD release party, actual party that is just for you guys.
I would love to do something big for the Warpath Nation.
Yeah, definitely.
You know,
I think your guys'
fans
would love that.
They've stuck with us this long without us giving them a full EP. We've given them a couple demos.
Yeah.
And even like somebody came up because they bought the first demo that we ever released that we recorded at Ramona Music Center. And they looked at the new demo that we released and he's like, oh, well, you got one new song on here.
Yeah. But like, they still keep coming to your show.
Fuck, we're busted. But they still keep coming out every time, you know? So I really think we should do something special.
Yeah.
They've been super loyal to us.
Yeah.
So we're working really hard to give them what we can.
Yeah. That's amazing. I think doing a CD release party for your fans, for Warpath Nation, is going to be an amazing thing for your fans to look forward to after getting your music, more of your music, not just a 3-song EP on a CD. Is there anything else you'd like to say to your fans? There is anything, like one message you had to give to your fans, what would it be?
Thank you.
At this point.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for your continued and undying support.
Yeah, without you guys, there would be no Warpath.
Yeah.
Bottom line, we work our asses off to give you what we can, and the love they give us back is very mutual.
They are Warpath.
They,
we're just four guys, but they are Warpath.
Thus, Thus, Warpath Nation.
Yeah, right. Warpath Nation.
We're Warpath, they're the nation, man.
They make you guys.
They make us strong, you know. That's strength in numbers right there, you know. And it's like,
definitely,
the more people that they go out and talk to their friends about or whatever, it just keeps growing. And the thing is like, after a show, you know, yeah, I'll go ahead and get drunk with everybody. You know, talk with them, you know, bullshit with them, have a good time with them. That way it's memorable, and they remember who they're hanging out with. And that's kind of like how I like to treat it, you know. We're Warpath Nation. We're family, you know. We like to hang out, and we like to have fun together.
I think Warpath appreciates our fans so much that we individually go up to our fans and we'll ask their name and introduce ourselves and be like,
oh, absolutely.
Especially for fans who don't even like metal that much, to come up to you and say, you guys sounded great, you guys look great, you were a great band, you sounded really fucking cool.
Yeah.
And that's one of the best compliments you could ever have for somebody who's really even not a metal fan.
Yeah.
Come up and say, you guys crushed tonight. You know? And that's what's building our fan base every single fucking show that we
do. You know, you see it, like, we went to, as a band, we go to concerts, you know, different concerts, and we went to, it was Breaking Benjamin, or it was Rob Zombie, it was one of those concerts down there at Cricket.
Breaking Benjamin
concert at Cricket down there in Chula Vista, and the amount of Warpath t-shirts that was in the crowd was absolutely amazing. Yeah. I mean, I saw 50 to 75 shirts, different people that were in the crowd that night.
Like, yeah.
And it's crazy because, you know, when we first started out, I didn't think, you know, that a band, like, especially a metal band, would be able to gain the credibility that we have right now, because there's so many bands out there, there's so many acts, like, it's hard to, like, to actually, you know, bust your way through and gain some recognition, and, you know, with, you know, their support, it's just been that much more awesome.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's not easy to fucking, you know, get however many likes on Facebook or that many followers or whatever, but, yeah, they've definitely, you know, made everything possible. Yeah, I'm eternally grateful for it. It's awesome.
That's awesome. It's obviously that your guys' fan base is a huge part of the music that you guys play. It's not just the music and what you guys are delivering. It's the feedback that you guys get from your fan base as well. And your soon-to-be fan base out there, I think that's amazing. And I really appreciate you guys taking the time to meet with me and have this interview for Mabel Syndrome. So I just want to ask you guys, we end the podcast with two songs that we're going to close out the podcast with. What two songs would you guys like us to play your fans out there? Whether it could be your song or it can be one of your favorite songs from other music. Musicians, anywhere.
Well,
what are you guys thinking?
Jesse, that's a tough question. I think one of our main and as a band influences would be Pantera. So we would love to play you Slaughtered by Pantera.
Okay.
And Africa by Toto.
Yeah! Oh, yeah!
Yeah! All right, so there you guys have it. We're going to be playing some Pantera Slaughtered and Toto some Africa. Enjoy it. Look up Warpath. They have a Facebook page, Warpath Official. They also have an Instagram, Warpath Official. They go live very often on their Facebook, and they also have a website, warpathnation.com. If you want to know more about the artists or you want to be updated on tours and shows, and for sure that CD release party that they are going to be having here in the Southern California Hemisphere, come on out, keep in contact, and feel free to message them too. They get back to you fairly quickly, and if you have any questions or you want them to play shows too, just message them and they'll get back to you. Thanks guys for listening, and here is something to hear. We'll be right back.
Hear the drums echoing tonight. She hears only whispers of some quiet conversation. She's coming in 12:30 flight. The moonlit wings reflect the stars that guide me towards salvation. I stopped an old man along the way, hoping to find some old forgotten words or ancient melodies. He turned to me as if to say, "Hurry, boy, it's waiting there for you. Longing for some solitary company. I know that I must do what's right, sure as Kilimanjaro rises like Olympus above the Serengeti. I seek to cure what's deep inside, frightened of this thing that I've become.